Ramping up your business? The time is near. You've given it heart, now get it in gear. It's Passage to Profit with Richard and Elizabeth Gearhart.
I'm Richard Gearhart, founder of Gearhart Law, a full-service intellectual property law firm specializing in patents, trademarks, and copyrights.
And I'm Elizabeth Gearhart, not an attorney, but I do marketing for Gearhart Law, and I have my own startups and podcasts.
Are you one of the 2 in 5 Americans wanting to start your own business or already a business owner? Stay tuned. This show is about starting and growing your business. Welcome to Passage to Profit, the road to entrepreneurship, where we learn why and how ordinary people just like you started and grew their businesses, and we also talk about the intellectual property that helps protect your innovations.
I am so excited to hear from our next presenter, Eugene Wang, and he has Sophie's Bionutrients, which is a great way to get protein. So welcome, Eugene. Tell us all about it.
So we use fermentation technology to grow microalgae like chlorella, you know, spirulina, that kind of thing you can get in the supplement store. Reason why we use fermentation because it's more efficient and better quality. And then by that way, we can get a protein flour, pretty much like the soy protein flour or the whey protein flour you used to have in your foods or supplements. So that's what we're doing.
I love that because I can't tolerate soy. And this is such a natural, renewable resource for protein. So what's your market for this?
The market is huge. I mean, I don't know if you guys noticed. Everything about foods, you know, talking about sugar, talking about carb, talking about fat, people know too much of it is not healthy. So those are going down. The only thing way up is protein. And that's why we also have Shaken Foods, trying to make protein more deliverable, right? And we're kind of upstream. We're making the ingredients, you know. So protein is the only thing in the market today that is growing and nonstop. However, I don't know if you guys noticed, growing protein is also very, very resource demanding. On top of that, you got a lot of proteins that are really coming with a lot of allergens. Soy, whey, they're all big allergens. Like my daughter Sophie, suffering from these allergens. So that's why we think we can provide a better solution to the world.
What is microalgae?
Well, it's a tiny single cell.
Small algae, right?
Yeah, you got to look into the microscopic to see it. You can't really see it clearly with your eye. You can see a little bit, you know, when they have a lot. But you can't really tell the body. You have to look it into the instrument to see them. And so that's why it's called microorganism.
And how is it harvested?
It's harvested when you grow them a lot. It becomes like a slush. And then you kind of centrifuge the water, the liquid out, dry them. It becomes the powder.
I accidentally tasted algae once. It was horrible. Do you do anything to make it taste better?
So here's what we do. The reason why the algae you tasted is awful is because that it was grown in the outdoor open pond. It was grown what we call scientifically autotrophically, meaning that it does photosynthesis. When they do photosynthesis, they create a lot of chlorophyll, the green stuff. That green looks healthy, but trust me, that green also tastes awfully grassy. The bad taste coming mostly from that color. And that color is so hard to remove. Think about it. You don't want to eat a burger that's dark green.
No.
Possibly
not,
once
no
in a lifetime.
No algae-colored burgers,
right?
For
exactly.
Me.
Exactly. You know, so that's why it never gets, you know, popular in the past. Now, growing them in the dark fermentation tank, there's no light. So they don't do photosynthesis. They don't make the green. And that color, that taste, all of a sudden becomes so pleasant. It's easy to market it. It almost looks like the cow milk protein or the soy protein. People naturally can accept it.
It has a flavor, though. I mean, what would the flavor be like? How would you describe it?
So I like the word umami. For some reason, people always use umami. But then it has a little bit sweetie taste. It still tastes tiny bit of algae-ish. You know, because after all, they are still algae. But it's not so strong, not so overwhelming.
David Postalski.
Eugene, what a treat to be sitting next to you, finally. I've known Eugene for about 10 years, a good friend and a client for a long time. I've known really for a long time. It's just really amazing to be sitting in the same room with him. And for all of you who don't know, he's a legend in this fermentation, alt-protein world. He is one of the grandfathers of it for sure. So can you talk a little bit about your background, how you started Sophie's Bionutrients?
Yeah, long story short, I was actually originally graduated from Columbia University. I got an MBA degree. I went to Wall Street actually less than 3 months. I just cannot withstand the lifestyle. I'm not cut for the bankers.
Me either.
Yeah, right. But I study finance. I even got a chartered financial analyst exam to level one, almost to level two. But then I found out, you know, my passion is with food. First and foremost, because my family. We've been four generation Buddhism and been making vegetarian food because the religious belief for three generations. And so that's why, possibly because my dad, my auntie, my uncle, they're all playing with food. So I found myself love food, especially vegetarian food. Back then we called it, not plant-based, fancy word today. and then slowly but surely, I don't know if you know about Asian business. Not until my uncle, my aunties, or my parents pass away, I cannot make any single decision. That's why when I found out my daughter Sophie's allergic reaction, I took that as an inspiration and jumped into my next venture. Venture number one, Sophie's Kitchen, back in Sebastopol, California. And then because of that, I got a lot of people asking, because we're making seafood alternative. Seafood is considered very healthy. So first thing they ask is about nutrition. That's how I then came to the idea of using microalgae. And luckily, I got into David, because I mean, there's so many intellectual properties generated. Now, here's the interesting thing I want to share with the people is that the future is for entrepreneur. Because why? There are going to be two type of people. The first one are the expert, the professional. Mm-hmm. They dive into their domain knowledge so deep, they almost put a wall, put a blind next to their eyes. They don't see anything else. The second type of people that's very needed by the world are entrepreneurs. We are shallow. Yes, true. But then we see...
Speak for yourself.
Right. But we see the world. We see broad. We see a lot of things. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We can then connect the dot. Hey, why A have to go to B? Why A cannot go to D and then directly jump to E, right? Mm-hmm. But the expert, they don't see that. They're so deep, they cannot see that. We're shallow, yes, true. But then because our shallowness, we can see a lot more. And we can connect the dot and make the new stuff. So hallelujah. Welcome to the new world of entrepreneurs.
I'm trying to figure out what category I belong into. Maybe Kenya has a comment here.
Oh, that's great. Great insight. So when you take a look at like the CMOS marketplace, right? I know algae is obviously different. Like, I guess, how is it the same? How is it different? And how do they compare to one another in terms of like being sold in the marketplace?
So what you saw in the market is possibly what we call macro algae. What we're working on are micro algae. The difference is that macro algae are truly the sea plants, sea vegetables in the ocean. Now, the downside with that is that macro algae sucks up a lot of heavy metal. We human create so much pollution in the world, in the ocean, that a lot of the macro algae today suffered from the heavy metal. Now, micro algae also are good at sucking heavy metal. But if you grow them in a controlled environment like the fermentation tank, you can control that heavy metal. And also, microalgae accumulate a lot more protein in their body fast, where macroalgae, they're plants. So they can accumulate protein, but not as much and not as fast as the microalgae. So those are the key differences.
Mm. Well, I'm glad you bring up the metals, because I do think those are having an impact on children's health, particularly.
Absolutely.
Because a lot of pesticides used metals that show up in the food. And then we wonder why the kids are sick. So this is a really great solution to that. But I did want to mention something that I had here in the show notes. It says that Sophie's Bionutrients is a Food Tech 500 startup. What does that mean?
It's a magazine, I believe, called Food Forwarding, I think. Every year they selected 500 most noticeable food tech startups around the world. And we are honored to be selected as one of the 500. But obviously, we're not the number one, because out of 500, we're in number 300-something or 200-something. But still, it's quite an honor. I mean, because so many, I would say tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of startups in the food tech space around the world, and we've been selected. So that's
wonderful.
Congratulations.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So this technology is all about footprint. So give you one comparison. Growing the same quality and same amount of protein in our research, using the cattle technology, beef, you need about 141 hectares of space. Now, that's animal. We know it's not sustainable. Well, even wheat, sustainable enough, it still needs about 5 hectares of space. Using our technology for the same amount and same quality, it's about 0.02 hectares of space. Not only that, talking about water, growing beef, dairy, it's a lot of water. humongous. I don't have to talk about it. So plant-based protein, it's very efficient, right? Mm-hmm. Even growing plant-based protein, 1 gram of protein, you need about 20 liters of water. Our technology, 2 to 5 liters of water only. So our technology, it's not just us. There are a lot of other microbial fermentation startups around the world. It's all about footprint. It's all about sustainability.
So are you growing this in pretty much one place, or do you plan to have growth factories all over the world?
That's the beauty with fermentation. Talking about fermentation, we all drink beer, right? I mean, you guys like beer, right?
I'm drinking one right now.
Or cider.
So there's so many breweries around the world, especially craft beer brewery. Our idea is to turn every brewery into our protein production powerhouse. And that will be a most easily accessible way to deploy the technology.
That's great.
Wow.
So do you envision people having their own microalgae fermenters in their kitchen? Like, oh, why don't you go grab some protein from the microalgae fermenter?
That would be our dream. That will be our dream. And talking about that, we recently just joined a program done by European Space Agency. We're going to take our fermentation project up to the space. And speaking of which, David, we need to talk more because there's going to be a lot more IPs being generated out there in the space. I have no heck of idea who can govern that space.
There are actually federal regulations about inventions made in space. So
okay.
we have some guidance for you on
one
that.
Of them. Okay. Yeah.
But Richard raises a really good point, though, about accessibility. And I have a question kind of for the room in terms of like the state of food and where we see agriculture and things with our food supply. So I would just like to get all of your takes on where you see that progressing to.
I would say everything is going to be minimized instead of expanded. In my personal opinion, what I believe is that the future of everything that we need, not just foods, the material, the plastic bag you use today, the packaging materials, the medicine, the cosmetic even, is going to be bio-manufactured. Not saying that the traditional animal farming is gonna or agriculture is going to disappear, not saying that, but I would say that the majority of the percentage of the materials that we're going to eat or use will be made from biomanufacturing. What is biomanufacturing? Exactly, fermentation is part of that family. Imagine a beer brewery that's close to what I was talking about when I said biomanufacturing.
Peter Kalkowski and Emma Bow from Shakin Foods.
I think when we talk about future of food and how we grow it, we definitely need to look at moving away from industrial practices that use a lot of water and land. And when it comes to the meat, I think we are definitely seeing a transition towards regenerative farming practices. That is what the meat industry is grabbing onto because it is not sustainable the way it is at the moment.
Mm. I personally don't think traditional farming is going anywhere anytime soon. So the most, I suppose, viable thing we can do is make it as sustainable as possible, because you're always going to have different sectors that are fighting back and saying, no, this is the way we've been doing it for hundreds of years. It's not going to change overnight. But there are different nuances of how we can manage that properly, mm-hmm. you know, to sustain the planet in a really positive way. So we need to all be looking to work together to do that as opposed to fighting against each other, really.
I feel that I'm very optimistic about it. And I'll tell you why. I'm working with food and food science and technology for over 20 years already. And I think this is the very first time we are in such a unique position that we're using innovation, creativity to improve food in a way we've never done before. And what I mean with that is usually we're using science and technology to produce more, to kind of grow in scale, replace ingredients, make more profits. At this time, we really kind of changed the game from the basis. And we can really have products with excellent quality. See the examples we have in here and being quite smart and innovative for that. So I think that's kind of really the revolution behind the food and food science that's going on, bringing innovation technology for all kinds of spaces. We don't care about it, but I think it's going to be normal, right, in the short term. There is researchers now saying this, like by 2035, like almost 20% of the food we have and the proteins we have will be coming from those alternative pathways, because we can really produce excellent products now and not really thinking about producing more, but really thinking about the quality, how this impact yourself, the planet, and this kind of thing. So I feel very positive and optimistic about it.
So Eugene, I feel like it's going to have a huge impact on greenhouse gases and climate change and everything we're putting into the atmosphere. Can you talk about that a little?
Yes. So the current way of whatever we are doing, it's just producing more greenhouse gas, period.
Well, cows emit a lot from both ends,
exactly.
Right? So it should have a positive impact not only on people's bodies, too, because it's easier to digest in a lot of ways,
right,
as well as on the environment.
Right. And I believe the future of manufacturing, especially the biomanufacturing I was talking about, not only it will be carbon neutral, it will possibly be carbon negative. I would say 99% or even 100% of the fermentation, the most important input of the process is actually carbon. And where's the biggest carbon sources today? Air. Now, the carbon sequestration technology today is too expensive, but I believe someday it will become very affordable. When that happens, we can just capture the carbon directly from the air and put it into the growing process to grow all the material and foods we need. That not only, like I said, not just carbon neutral, it will be carbon negative.
That's wonderful. We do need to ask you how people find you.
Google Sophie's Bionutrient, Bio, B-I-O, and then Nutrients. Oh, speaking of which, Bionutrient is actually a term coined by NASA, not by us.
Okay.
It means creating nutrition or foods in spacecraft. And if you can do that, you can do it on Earth very efficiently. We are on LinkedIn. We're not on social media platform, just LinkedIn and our website. Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you.
Passage to Profit is a nationally syndicated radio show appearing in 31 markets across the United States. Thank you to the P2P team, our producer Noah Fleischman, and our program coordinators Alicia Morrissey and Rissikat Busari. Look for our podcast tomorrow anywhere you get your podcasts. Our podcast is ranked in the top 3% globally. You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, X,
and on our YouTube channel. And remember, while the information on this program is believed to be correct, never take a legal step without checking with your legal professional first. Gearhart Law is here for your patent, trademark, and copyright needs. You can find us at gearhartlaw.com and contact us for a free consultation. Take care, everybody. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week.